B'siyata d'shemaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Pei Gimel. We're going to start at the Mishnah towards the bottom of Daf Pei Gimel, Omad Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Mi she'ochzoi bulmus. Bulmus is a type of a life-threatening condition which is induced by somebody, by hunger, by somebody who's suddenly very hungry and is craving to eat. Then on Yom Kippur, if he's suddenly got this condition called bulmus, and it's pikuach nefesh, we have to give him what to eat. Machilin oisoi, then we feed him afilu dvorim tmeim. And this is not necessarily talking about Yom Kippur. This is the whole year round also. If somebody has a bulmus, and the only food you can find for him is not kosher food, of course you give it to him. Preserving life overrides eating kosher. And the same will be with Yom Kippur. One is not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but if needing to eat is going to save his life, if that's going to be the difference between life and death, of course, we rather than that he eats than that he fasts on Yom Kippur. And Adchi Yoiru Einov, and until his vision is restored, because one of the symptoms of this bulmus is a blurred vision. When his vision is restored, then we know he's no longer suffering from the bulmus, and he no longer has to eat. On Yom Kippur, he shouldn't eat anymore, and he shouldn't eat any more non-kosher food, even if it's not an Yom Kippur. Misha neshochi kelev shoita. If a kelev shoita, a mad dog, bit somebody, ein machilin oisai, we do not feed this person mechatzar kovid sheloi, from the liver lobe of this dog, because this is clearly treif. You're not allowed to eat dogs. Dog's meat is not kosher. And some people obviously thought that if you've been bitten by a mad dog, then eating this will save the person's life. The Mishnah says, no, this is not something that's been tested and proven, and therefore one is not allowed to eat this non-kosher food after having been bitten. Reb Masya ben Chorosh matir. Reb Masya ben Chorosh said it was okay. He holds that it is a proper cure, and therefore, if it's a proper cure, of course you're allowed to eat it, even though it's not kosher, to save this person's life. Void Omar Masi ben Chorosh. Reb Masya ben Chorosh said another statement, Hachishish begroinoi, if somebody has a pain in his throat, Matilin loy sam besoich piv b'shabbos, we're allowed to put medicine into his mouth, even on Shabbos. And obviously, if this person is just feeling sick and is not in life-threatening danger, then assuming that this medicine does not require transgressing a biblical halacha on Shabbos, then one's allowed to do it for any chayla. But over here, we're talking about that preparing this medicine required being over one of the melachis. It was an issa d'oraisa, and therefore it was only mutter because we're talking about a type of issue in the throat, which is a pikuach nefesh. It's a symptom of a life-threatening illness. And Rav Masya ben Chorosh held that this medicine we're talking about is considered a medicine which has been tried and tested, and therefore one's allowed to even prepare it on Shabbos. Mipneishu sofik nefoshes, because there's a possibility that not doing it will risk the life of this person. V'chol sofik nefoshes doiches haShabbos, whenever there's even a sofik, a doubt, a possibility of life-threatening danger, then it overrides the halachas of Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Misha nofla lov mapoiles, if a building collapsed on a person on Shabbos, sofik husham, sofik einesham, we're not sure if this person is actually there, or if he's not there, sofik chai, sofik meis, we don't know if he's still alive or if he's dead, sofik kuti, sofik Yisrael, this is a doubt whether the person, if there's a person there, we have a doubt whether this person is a kuti, somebody who serves Avodah Zarah, or if it's a Yisrael, one's allowed to and has to save him on Shabbos. If it's a Kuti, then not. Then Mefakchin Olovis Agal, since there's even just a possibility that there's a Yisrael who's still alive under the building, then one is allowed to clear away the building, the rubble, in order to try and save him. Even though this involves a melacha d'oraisa, it could be involved things like digging and other melachas, then the desire and the requirement to preserve life overrides those malachas. Matza'ul chai, if they find him whilst they're digging away at the building, they find that he's alive. Mefakhim, then you continue to clear away the rubble until you can extract the person from under this the stones and save his life. Ve'immeis. But if it becomes clear that this person was there is now no longer alive, yanichuhu, then they leave him there. There's no longer any permission to violate any of the halachas of Shabbos to try and get him out. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. Minayin hoyu yoidim shehi iru einov. We saw in the Mishnah that if somebody is ochzoi bulmus, that suddenly he's overtaken by this life-threatening danger and disease called bulmus, and then the Mishnah says that we allow him to eat even tomei foods, even not kosher foods, until yoiru einov, until his vision has been restored. The question is, how would we know that his vision has been sufficiently restored? Answers the Gemara, Mishayavchin bein toiv lera. As soon as he can differentiate between good food and bad food, then we know that his vision has been restored. Omar Abaya, and Abaya says, Ubataima, we're talking about that he can differentiate between the two through the taste. Clearly, somebody who is still under the influence of this bulmus will not be able to determine when tasting something whether this is a good food or a bad food. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Misha Ochze Bulmus, another brisa regarding this bulmus, Machilin Oisei Hakal Hakal. Of course we have to do everything it takes to save his life, but we should try and transgress the least amount of Avera as possible in order to save him. That's what it means, Hakal Hakal, the least severe of the Isurim. And the brisa explains, Tevel Unavela. If you have a choice, you can either give him food which is tevel, which means that trumas and maestras have not been taken. And obviously, we're going to discuss this soon, but we're obviously talking about a case where you cannot take trumas and maestras now, possibly because it will minimize from the amount of food that this person needs to eat. And the only way we can save him is by giving him the tevel food to eat. Unavela, and the only other option is giving him to eat from a novela, which is a kosher animal that has died or has been killed but and has not been shechted. Then machilin oisei novela. Then the brisa says rather give him novela to eat than to give him tevel to eat. And the reason for this is because eating novela is a lav. However, eating tevel is it has a chiyuv of misa b'dei shamayim, it's punishable by death from shamayim, and therefore it's more severe. Tevel ushvies, what happens if you've got either tevel or shmita produce to give this person? Then the brisa says, rather give him shmita produce to eat than to give him tevel. Like we saw before, tevel is punishable by misa b'dei shamayim. However, eating shmita foods, and we're not talking about regular shmita foods, of course you're allowed to eat them, it may even be a mitzvah to eat shmita fruits. We're talking here about those fruits of shmita which have become osur. There's a number of halachas, we're not going to go into them at length now, but there are certain point in time when shmita fruits are, one is not allowed to keep them in the house, one's not allowed to eat them, certainly not before certain conditions have been met, and we're talking here about those shmita foods which are not allowed to be eaten, and they are much more lenient than eating tevel. It's learnt out just from an assay, it's not even a lav, and tevel is a lav which is a has with it a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim, so of course, hakal hakal, we give him the most lenient issa, and it's clearly shmita is more lenient than tevel. Tevel utruma, if the only two options available is either eating tevel, which is produce that trumas and maestras have not been taken, or eating truma for somebody who's a non-kohen, and both of these are averas that are punishable by misa b'dei shamayim, which one is the more lenient one, which one should one give a person when trying to preserve and save his life? Then it's a machlekes tanoim tanoihi, the tani we learnt in a brisa. Machilin oisoi tevel, ve'ein machilin oisoi chuma. The Tanakama say, rather give him tevel than give him chuma. Ben Teima says, no, chuma v'loi tevel, rather give him chuma than giving him tevel. And Rabba is going to explain, Omar Rabba, Eicha de'efshar b'chulin, when it's possible to take the tevel, take trumas and maestras, and now you'll be left with regular chulin produce, then you should give him chulin. De kule almalay pliki, everyone will agree, de masakninon lay, that we make the tevel fit to be eaten, that means we take trumas and maestras, and we're left with regular chulin, umasafinon lay, and we feed him with it. Ki pligi, when is there a machloikas between Tanakama and Ben Tema, is only b'deloy efshar b'chulin. It wasn't possible to turn the tevel into chulin. Marasovar tevel chomur. Ben Tema holds that the issa of tevel is more stringent, and therefore he says rather give him truma than give him tevel. Or marasovar truma chamura, and the Tanakama say no, rather give him tevel. It's more lenient because truma is the more stringent of the two. And now the Gemara is going to explain marasovar tevel chomur. Ben Tema holds that tevel is more severe. Why? Because tevel is not allowed to be eaten by anybody. Aval truma chazya lekayin, but the issa of eating truma, then it's much more lenient because a truma, a kohen, is allowed to eat it as it is now. It's not something which is intrinsically non-edible by anybody who's keeping Torah. It's only edible for a kohen. Therefore, it's the more lenient of the two, and therefore Ben Tema says rather give him truma than tevel. Umar Sovar, the Tanakama hold truma chamura. Says that truma is more stringent. Why? Because truma, there's no way in the world that a non-kohen is ever going to be able to eat this truma, and therefore it's very stringent. Aval tevel, however, tevel, it's true that now nobody's allowed to eat it, but efshar litikune, you can fix it, you can take trumas and maestras, and then via the trumas and maestras, the tevel will actually become non-tevel, which means that this very fruit, the very produce now, which is tevel, is going to become edible. Therefore, it's a more lenient type of issa, and therefore, the Tanakama said, rather give him tevel than give him truma. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to an interesting statement that Rabba said. Rabba said, efshar b'chulin, that if it's possible to turn the tevel into chulin, in that case, of course, we rather give him chulin than giving him tevel. That's what Rabbi says. Heicha de'efshar b'chulin, de'kule alma le'pligi, de'masakninon le'umasfinon le'. Asks the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious, why did Rabbi have to say this? Of course, if you can turn the tevel into chulin, then why would we give him tevel? Just take trumas and maestras and let him eat it. What's the element of chiddush in what Rabbi said? Answers the Gemara, there is an element of chiddush, because turning the tevel into chulin required the having to transgress something which was osa. Loi tzricha, we need Rabba's statement, b'Shabbos, we're talking about on Shabbos, and we know that it's osa to fix tevel, to take trumas and maestras on Shabbos. It's actually a issa d'rabbanon. So Rabba's telling us that if you have now, if this person is Ochzei Bulmas on Shabbos, and you can either give him Tevel, or fix the Tevel by taking Chumas and Maestras on Shabbos, transgressing the Issed Rabbonon of taking Chumas and Maestras on Shabbos, so Rabba is saying, of course you should take Chumas and Maestras, rather than giving him Tevel, which is a serious Issa min HaTorah, and punishable by Misa B'dei Shemaim. Says the Gemara B'Shabbos Nami Pshita, I don't need Rabba to tell me that either. Of course, I can take Trumas and Maestras on Shabbos. Tiltul Midrabononhu. The whole Issa, the whole reason of not being able to take Trumas and Maestras on Shabbos is only compared to Tiltul. Tiltul means carrying. We know that the Issa to carry, to move, Mukta, is only an Issa Drabonon on Shabbos. So either, it's not clear exactly what the Gemara means, if being mafresh, if taking Trumas and Maestras, does it actually involve a mukta, which is only a derabonon, or is it a different issa derabonon, which relative to the issa deraisa of eating tevel is no better or worse than just mukta? But either way, it's only osam a derabonon. Of course, you should violate an issa derabonon to stop a person eating tevel, which is an issa deraisa. So, what did Rabbi have to tell us that for? Answers the Gemara Hochap and Mayaskinon. We're talking about where it's only tevel midrabbonon. There are certain things that min haTorah one has to take trumas and maestras. There are certain things that are only tevel, and trumas and maestras only have to be taken midrabbonon. For example, be'otzit she'enei nokuv derabbonon. If this Tevel grew in a pot that didn't have any holes in it. If a pot had holes in, and then whatever's growing in the pot is nourishing from the ground through the holes in the flower pot, through the pot, then it's Tevel min ha-Teira. But if it's growing in an otzit she'enei nokuv, then it's only Tevel midrabanon. So here, what the Gemara is explaining now is that what Rabba's actually talking about is if you have Tevel, which is only Tevel midrabanon, and taking Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos is also Osam Midrabanon. So if you have in front of you some Tevel Derabanon, on Shabbos this person is Orzoi Bulmus, and you don't know, what should I do? Should I give him Tevel Midrabanon, or should I fix the Tevel and take the Trumas and Maestros, which is Osam Midrabanon on Shabbos? Which Derabanon is easier? For that, Rabbi says that if you can be Mafrish the Trumas and Maestros and give him something which is Chulin, not even Tevel Midrabanon, of course that's what you should do. But there's certainly an element of Chiddush there, and that's what Rabbi is coming to teach us. And the reason behind what Rabbi said, that rather transgress the Issa Derabanon of being Mafrish Trumas and Maestros rather than giving him Tevel Derabanon, is because if a person's going to get used to, or is a person's going to be allowed, even here, just for life-saving reasons, to eat Tevel Midrabanon, that could bring him to possibly eating Tevel Min HaTorah at some later stage, and that's seriously Osa. So therefore, we're trying to avoid Tevel at all expense, and therefore we rather that he takes the Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos than giving him even Tevel Derabanon. And now we have a line in the Gemara that some say doesn't belong here, others take it out. Marasovar Tevel Chomor, or Marasovar Truma Chamura, which means that in a case where it's not possible to take the Trumas and Maestros because you need the whole volume of the food here for the person who's sick, and you've got a choice either to give it to him Tevel or to take the Trumas and Maestros and then give him part Chulin, part Truma. That's the Machlokes Tanakama and Ben Tema. Is Tevel worse or is Truma worse, as we saw before? Says the Gemara, Leimu Ketanoi, this that Rabba told us, and as the Gemara has now explained it, that when you have in front of you Tevel Derabonon, and you have an Issa to be Mafrish Trumas and Maestros, which is only Derabonon, obviously we're talking about on Shabbos, then we saw that Rabba said that obviously you should, or not obviously, but he says there was a Chiddush, that you should rather take the Trumas and Maestros and transgress the Issa of Mafrish Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos better than eating Tevel Derabanon. This seems to be, at first glance, a Machlokes Tanoim. Leima Tanoi, the Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Mi Shenashochoi Nochosh, if somebody was Chas V'Sholom bitten by a snake on Shabbos, Koirin Loiroifa Mimokim Lemokim, then we're allowed to call a doctor to come, even from a faraway place. On Shabbos, you call a doctor to heal him. We can tear open a hen, even though doing this on Shabbos, killing an animal on Shabbos, is netilas neshama, it's a malocha. You're allowed to do that, to place it onto his wound, in the hope that, and Rashi says that, putting this, a torn open hen, onto the wound of the bite of the snake, can heal him. We can cut the leeks off the ground for him, because this is also going to help him to heal, even though koitzer, reaping, is in one of the lamates melachos. One's allowed to do it because he's been bitten by a snake, his life is in danger. And we give him food to eat, and we do not need to take maaser from it. Now, a leek is a vegetable, and Tevel and Trumas and Maestros are vegetables, is only Derabonon. That rather take Tevel Derabonon, which are these leeks, and give it to the person to eat, and rather than taking Trumas and Maestros, Divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Elezer b'Shimon Oimer, Rebbe Elezer b'Shimon argues and says, Lo yechal ad she'asir. Take the Trumas and Maestros, even though it's only Tevel Derabonon, and even though it's an Osa Derabonon to take Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos, take the Trumas and Maestros in order that he should eat these leeks in a tithed way and not eat the Tevel. That's the opinion of Rebbe Elozer b'Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara is saying, name Rebbe Elozer b'Rebbe Shimon he v'loy Rebbe. What Rabbi said before, that you should rather transgress the Issa of taking Trumas and Maestros derabonon, which is only an Issa derabonon, on Shabbos rather than eating Tevel derabonon, this follows Rebbe Elozer b'Rebbe Shimon and not Rebbe. Says the Gemara, no. It could well be that Rabba is following either of those opinions. It's easy to see how he's following Reb Elazar ber Reb Shimon. Reb Elazar ber Reb Shimon says that lo yichalat shiya asir. But even Rebbe, who says there regarding the leeks that you can eat and you do not eva in tzorich la asir, it may not be a contradiction to what Rabba said, that you should rather take the trumas and maestras from an otzitz she'ein enoku, from tevel derabonon, because it grew in a pot that did not have any holes in it, which is only tevel derabonon. And Rabba said in that case, take trumas and maestras, which is an issa derabonon, and avoid eating tevel derabonon, and it's not a contradiction to what Rebbe says. Afilo teima Rebbe, ad kan leika omar Rebbe hasam. When did Rebbe say that you do not need to take the trumas and maestros, elo le'inyan maisa yerek derabonon, that's only regarding the taking trumas of vegetables. And vegetables is always derabonon. It will never become tevel deraisa. Vegetables cannot be tevel deraisa. Aval b'maisa dogon, but in the case of grains, with the tevel deraisa he, if it was grown in a field, if it was grown in an otzitz nokuv, in a pot which has holes in, it would be tevel min ha-teira. Only there, Afilu Rebbe Moida, Rebbe would agree to what Rabba said, that since you could get confused between grains which are tevel derabonon and grains which are tevel deraisa, there Rabba says, take truma, even though you're transgressing an issa derabonon of taking trumas on Shabbos, rather than getting a person accustomed to eating any form of tevel from grains, where were he to get confused between grains of tevel derabonon and grains of tevel deraisa, he would have transgressed a very severe issa. The Ishorisli, but Otzitz She'enei Nokuv, Rebbe will agree that if you allow this person to eat Tevel Drabonon that was grown in a pot without holes, Osi Lemechel, but Otzitz She'enei Nokuv, he's going to come to eat Tevel even from a pot that did have holes, and that's seriously Osa. And now the Gemara is going to teach us another Braisa about some remedies for a Bulmus. Tonu Rabbonon Misha Ochze Bulmus, somebody who was suddenly seized by this illness, this condition called Bulmus, Machilin Oisei Dvash V'chol Minei Masika, we feed him with honey and other sweet foods. Sheha Dvash V'chol Minei Masika Meirin Mo'ir Einov Shel Adam, because these sweet foods, they restore the eyesight of a person. V'afal Pisha In Raya L'Dover, even though we don't have explicit proof regarding Bulmus, Zeicha L'Dover, however, there's an allusion to it in a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ru'u no, see, ki oiru einai, how my eyes have lit up, ki to'amti ma'at dvash hazeh, because I've tasted a little bit of this honey." So you see that eating sweet honey could help a person's eyesight. It's not explicitly speaking about bulmus, but it's a remez to, it's a zeichu ledovo, it's a type of an allusion to what we said before, to what the Braisa says. V'mai afal pisha in rai ledovo. And that's what the Gemara says. Why is it not an explicit proof? The Pasuk is not talking about Bulmus explicitly. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Lo Yishonu, this that they said, that eating sweet foods is beneficial, is only Elo L'Achar Achila. It's only if you eat the sweet foods after having eaten regular food. Avol Koidem Achila, but if you eat the sweet foods before eating other food products, Migrar Gor, it's going to do the opposite. It's going to make a person even more hungry. Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayimtzu Ish Mitzri Basode, they found an Egyptian man in the field, Vayikcho Israel David, and they took him to David, Vayitnu Loi Lechem, first they gave him bread, Vayoichal, and he ate it, Vayashkuhu Maim, and then they gave him water to drink, and only afterwards, Vayitnu Loi Pelach Tevelo, they gave him a cake of pressed figs, which is sweet, Ushnei Tzimukim, and two clusters of raisins, Vayoichal, and he ate them, Vatoshav Ruchoyelov, and his spirit returned to him, Ki Loi Ochal Lechem, because he had not eaten, nor has he drunk, for 3 days and three nights. So we see there that they first gave him bread, and only afterwards they gave him the sweet fruits. Continues the Gemara, some more remedies for Bulmus. Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Misha Ochzoi Bulmus, Machilin Oisoi Alyo Bidvash, then one feeds him with a very fatty tail of a sheep together with honey. Another remedy is to give him some fine flour, fine wheat flour with honey. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says, Afila Kimcha Desara, even barley flour, bedivsha with honey, is also a remedy even though it's much lower quality than the Soilus Nakia, than the fine wheat flour, but it's also a remedy for bulmus. Continues the Gemara Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Pam achas achozani bulmus, at one time I was seized by bulmus. Veratzti lemizrocho shel te'ena, and I went to the Iran, to the east side of a fig tree. And that's the side that the sun rays beat down on it very strongly in the morning, because the sun rises in the east, and the fruits on the east side of the tree are very sweet. And Rabbi Yochanan went and he ate from those fruits. V'kiyamti ba'atzmi, and I fulfilled, by doing this, I fulfilled what it says in the Pasuk, Hachochma techaye ba'aleo, that wisdom preserves the life of those that possess the Chochma. And over here, it was Rabbi Yochanan's wisdom, the fact that he had learnt from the Braisa that eating sweet fruits helps bulmus, that's what saved him. The Tanya of Yosef, because of Yosef learnt in a Braisa that Haroitz Alitoim Tam Te'ino, that if somebody wants to have the best and the sweetest fruits of a fig tree, Yifne LeMizrach, he should go to the eastern side, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Umimeged, and from the delicacies, Tvuois, Shomesh, of the sun's fruits. So you see there's a concept of sun's fruits, that when the sun beats on it, it makes the fruits very sweet. And that's the Mimeged, the delicacies. Rabbi Yochanan was aware of this Braisa that Rabbi Yosef taught, and it was because of the wisdom Rabbi Yochanan had of this Braisa that gave him life. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi have a ka'ozli ba'urcha. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi were traveling on the road. Ochze bulmus Rabbi Yehuda, and suddenly Rabbi Yehuda, he was overcome by bulmus. Kapche l'roye ochle l'rifta. They took away from the shepherd's bread, and they gave this ochle l'rifta, and they gave the bread to Rabbi Yehuda. Omle Rabbi Yosi said to him, Ki pachto es haroye, you've deprived the shepherd from his bread. And there's a big discussion, are you allowed to take something from somebody else, so to speak, steal something from somebody else, in order to save your life? And obviously, if yes, it's got to be with the intentions of paying. Obviously, over here, Rabbi Yehuda intended to pay this shepherd for the bread he had taken from him. Kimatu lemosa. When they came to the city, Orze bulmus Rabbi Yosi. Now Rabbi Yosi was overcome with bulmus. Ahadre belogei vitzoi. And the people of the city, they surrounded Rabbi Yosi with jars of honey and sweet food dishes. Omale Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda now said to Rabbi Yosi, Aniki pachti es haroya. It's true that I deprived the shepherd of some of his bread. Ve'ato kipachto es ha'ir kula. But you deprived the entire city, because you had all the townspeople bringing you the jars of honey and the sweet platters of food. Continues the Gemara. Vesu, there's another incident. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi have a ka'ozli ba'urcha. This time it was three of them. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda went on a journey. Rabbi Meir have a doik bishmo. And Rabbi Meir, he was used to examining the name of the owner of the hosts, the way he was going to stay. And from the name, he could tell whether this was a good person or a bad person. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi lo yavadoika b'shmo. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, they would not examine the names of their hosts. Kimotu lahu duchta, when they came to this place, bo'u ushpiza, they needed some lodgings. It was actually Shabbos afternoon. They needed somewhere to stay over Shabbos. Yovu lahu, they were given some lodging. Omru loy, they asked the host, ma shimcha, what's your name? Omar luhu, the host said, Kidoir, my name is Kidoir. So Omar, so Rabbi Meir said straight away, shma mino, I can tell from his name that Adam Roshahu, he's an evil person, he's a wicked person. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Ki Doir, that reminds us of the name of this person, Ki Doir. Ki Doir Tapuchos Heimo, for they are a generation of an upside down generation, a generation of where they just keep reversing, and I can see that this is something negative. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi eshlimu lekisayhu. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, who they were not bothered that his name seemed to show there was something not right, and they gave their money pouches to this host. Rabbi Meir lo yashlim lekisay, but Rabbi Meir, he did not trust his host to protect his money for him over Shabbos. Ozal, he went, and oisvei beikivre davua, and he put his money pouch, instead of giving it to the host, he went to the graveyard and put it by the grave of the father of the host. Arzadeh Bechalmei, that evening, it was Friday night, and the host's father came to the host in a dream. What did his father tell him? Ta shkil kiso de manach aresha dahu gavra. Come and take the purse that's lying by the head of that person, referring to himself. The father said, by my head in the grave, there's a purse of money there, and we know why it's there. Reb Meir put it there. But his father came to the host, to his son, and told him to go take the money. Lemachar, Omer Luhu, Hochi is Chazili Bechalmoi. The next day, the host, he said to these Chachomim that this is what I saw in my dream. Omrule, they said to him, Chelma de Beishim Shales Beima Moshe. The dreams of Friday nights have no substance whatsoever. And Reb Meir just explained to him and said, you know, Friday night, everybody's relaxed and the mind wanders. And when a person's mind wanders, he has all sorts of interesting dreams. And the reason Reb Meir said this to him was obviously he didn't want this host going to the graveyard and taking his money. Ozal Reb Meir v'notrei kule yema. V'ayse, Reb Meir went to the grave and he stood there the rest of Shabbos to guard his purse. And he brought it back. After Shabbos was over, he brought the purse back. Lemochor, the next day, Omar Loi, Omru Loi, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi said to their hosts, Havlon Kison, give us our pouches of money back. Omar Luhu, Loi Hayu Dvorim Oilom. There's no such thing, I don't know what you're talking about. What pouches, what purses, I don't know what you're talking about. Omar Luhu Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir said to them, Amai Loi Diak to Bishmo. Why did you not examine his name before giving your money to him? Omrule, they said to him, Amai lo yomart lon mar, why didn't you, Reb Meir, tell us that we can't trust him? Omar luhu, Reb Meir says, Eim de omri ano chashosha, that when I used to, and I'm used to asking the name and trying to determine from the name if it's good and bad, I'm not an absolute clear that he's bad, I'm just suspicious about it. But achzuke mika omri, but to establish that this person is definitely a wicked person, mi omri, I never said such a thing. And since I wasn't, and I'm not 100% sure he's a bad person, I couldn't tell you not to trust him with your money. So what did they do? They wanted to get their money back. Mashchuhu v'aylu l'chanusa. They took the host to the store. Some say they gave him some wine to drink. Chozu tlofche asfomi. And it happened to be they saw that there were some lentils still stuck in his moustache. Obviously he'd eaten dinner or breakfast, he'd eaten some lentils, and he didn't clean his moustache. Ozlu v'yovu simono l'debisu. So they went back to the wife of this host, and they gave him a sign, as if to say that your husband said you should give us our pouches back, and if you want to know a sign that we're saying the truth, yeah, I'll tell you the sign. The sign is that the two of you ate lentils for a meal early on today. V'shakluhu l'kisayhu v'aysu. And they took their purses, and they brought it back to the host, and they confronted him. And they said, you see, here are our pouches. Your wife gave it back to us. You did steal them. Ozal iu v'kotle le'itze. This host went and killed his wife. Hainu t'tanya, this is what we learned in a braisa, that mayim rishonim, that make sure to wash mayim rishonim, because if you don't wash, why mayim rishonim means washing before a meal. If you don't wash before a meal, hechilu b'sar chazir, then it can end up that you'll be being fed with pork. Mayim achreinim, make sure that you wash mayim achreinim, because if not, not washing mayim achreinim, horgu es hanefesh, could ultimately cause somebody to be killed. So mayim achreinim, horgu es hanefesh, we know. If this host would have washed mayim achreinim, and typically when a person washes mayim achreinim, then before benching, he washes his hands, then he also wipes his moustache with his wet hands to make sure that there's no leftovers there, then they wouldn't have had the sign, they wouldn't have got the pouch back from his wife, he wouldn't have killed his wife. And mayim rishonim, hechilu basa chazir, the incident there was that you had somebody who used to sell kosher food, kosher meat to Jewish people, and he would sell pork to the non-Jewish people. This person came in, he didn't wash before eating, the host said, oh, he's certainly not Jewish, and gave him pork to eat. And had he washed Mayim Rishonim, then the host would have realized that he's a Jew, he's Jewish, he's a Yid, and he wouldn't have given him pork to eat. And the truth is that one is not allowed to make money by selling not kosher food. And the Beis Yosef in Yeridea, Simon Kuf Yud Zayin, discusses how this person could actually be selling pork to the goyim. Continues the Gemara, Lebesayif, after Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi realized what looking into the name of a host could teach you, Then Havadaika B'Shmo, they also started examining the names of hosts. Kimotu Lahu Beisa, when they came to this house, Dishmei Bolo, and the host was called Bolo, Le'ailu Gabayu. They didn't want to go in. The word Bolo boded something not so good. Omri Shma Minoroshu, they said it seems from his name that he's a wicked person. Why? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vo'oimar La Bolo Ni Oifin, that I said to one of those who had become worn out, Labalo means worn out, that the reason he'd become worn out is Ni'ufin, is because he was engaged in adultery, in very serious, inappropriate averus. So you see that Balo is a name of being worn out. K'moy acharoi b'loisi, like we said, there's another pasuk that says that acharoi b'loisi hoisoli edno. What does that mean? That Soroi Menu was saying that I've been worn by age. Are you telling me that I'm going to now have delicate skin? That's after she was told that she was going to have a child at a very, very old age. So you see that Baloisi means worn out. So too, the Pasuk that says, Vo'imer labolo ni'oifin, it means that these people had become aged through adultery. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to the next statement in the Mishnah that we saw. Misha neshochi kelev shoito, somebody who's bitten by a mad dog, etc. Tonu Rabbonon, we learned in a braisa, chamisha dvorim nemru bekelev shoito, five things are said about a mad dog. Number one, piv pasuach, its mouth is open. Number two, veriroi noitev, saliva drips from his mouth. Number three, veoznov sruchais, his ears are long and drooped. Number four, uznovoi munach al yarkoisov, that his tail rests on its legs. Number five, umahalich betzide drochim, it walks on the side of the road. Some add, af neveach ve'in koile nishma, it barks, but its voice cannot be heard. Asks the Gemara, Mimayhava, what causes this condition of kelef shoitov, of a dog becoming mad? Says the Gemara, Rav Omar, noshim kashfoniyois mesachakois boy. The female sorcerers, they play with it, and by practicing the sorcery on the dog becomes mad. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel says, Ruach ra shoyer alov, there's actually an evil spirit resting upon it. My Beinayu, and there's actually a practical ramification and difference between these two explanations. The Gemara asks, My Beinayu, what would that difference be? Ika Beinayu, the difference would be, Lemiktele Bedover Anizrok, that you want to kill this dog, that it shouldn't hurt anybody else, whether you shouldn't go and touch it. Because that, if there's an evil spirit on this dog, and you touch the dog, that could be very dangerous. So according to Shmuel, that says there's an evil spirit on the dog, don't go near it. What should you do? Lemiktele bedover anizrok, you should kill it by throwing something at it. Throw a knife at it, throw an arrow at it. Do something, but don't go near it. However, according to Rav says that the reason it became mad is because some sorcery was done to it. There would be no restriction or no reason not to go and kill it, even by getting close to it. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavaseida Shmuel, there's a braisa like Shmuel, Kashahirginoisa, when you kill a mad dog, Ein Hirginoisa Elo Bedover Anizrok, you should only kill it from far by throwing something at it. The Choyif Bey Mistakin, because somebody who gets rubbed by a mad dog it's very dangerous. Denoviously mais, but somebody who is bitten by a mad dog is gonna die. The Gemara is now explaining the choyif bei mistakin. Somebody who gets rubbed by this dog is in danger. Maitikante, what's his remedy? What should he do? He doesn't want to die. Says the Gemara, Nishlach monei venirit, he should remove his clothes. Some add that you should throw the clothes at before the dog and run. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, it once happened that Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, chaf bei chad minayhu b'shuka, one of these mad dogs rubbed on him in the marketplace or in the street, shalchinu lemonei, he removed his clothing and possibly threw it towards the dog, v'roit and ran. Omar, and he said, kiyamti ba'atzmi, I have now fulfilled on myself, hachochmo techaye ba'leo. That the knowledge he had from the Brises and from what we've learned till now on how to save himself when being rubbed by a mad dog actually saved his life. Continues the Gemara, that we saw in the Brisa that denochisle mais, that somebody who is bitten by a mad dog is going to die. Asks the Gemara, Maitakante, what can such a person do to try and save his life? Omar Abaya, Nesa Mashko de Apo de Dichro. He should bring the skin of a male Apo. V'nichtoi v'alei, and write on the skin. Ano planyo bar ploniso. I, Mr. So-and-so, or not the Mr., the so-and-so, his name, the son of, and he should put his mother's name in. Amashko de'apo dichro kosivno aloch. On the skin of a male apo, I am writing regarding you. Kanti kanti klirus. V'omrilo, and others say he writes a different three words. He writes kandi kandi klirus. Ko ko, which is Hashem's name. Hashem tzvokos, which is another one of Hashem's name. Omen omen selo. And we don't need to understand how this works and why this works. We find a lot in Chazal that when you're trying to get cured, then one would write different things, and one writes sometimes, one would say an incantation, and that would help a person. V'nashlechinhu lemoni, and he should remove his clothes. V'likberinhu be kivra, and he should bury them in a cemetery. Ad treisa yar chashata, for a whole year, for 12 months. V'nafkinhu, and he should then, after a year, take the clothes out of the cemetery, v'niklinhu, and burn them b'tanur in an oven, unevadrinhu lekitmei aproshas drachim, he should scatter the ashes at a crossroads, v'hanoch treisa yarchashata, and for the duration of those 12 months, kishosimai, whenever he drinks water, loylishta elo begufso denachosha, he shouldn't drink straight from a cup because he might see a reflection. Dilmachosi bevuo deshida velistakin, he might see the reflection of that, of some shade, of some evil spirit in the water, and that would endanger him. So what should he do when drinking water? He should drink it begufta denachosha. He should use a straw. The example the Gemara brings is the Guvtsa de Nechosha, a copper straw, but it doesn't have to be a copper straw, as we're about to see. As long as he's not drinking straight from a cup, he's drinking using a straw. Kiha de Abba Bar Morsa, as we saw in the case of Abba Bar Morsa, who Abba Bar Minyumi, who's also known as Abba Bar Minyumi, the Avdele Ime, that his mother made him a Guvtsa de Dava, a golden straw, and that's what helped him heal. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.